we know the benefit of a good earthly father. How much more, then, the benefit and blessing of our heavenly Father? That really is the great lesson and the great benefit that we find right here. And so, our subject today, the sermon today that's bubbling up in my heart, is the message that it is by your prayer and your communion with your heavenly Father that will bring down the blessing into your life as we think of the year to come.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, and as we come to our message today, we're going to read Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And here we have the Lord Jesus preparing his disciples to learn how to pray. How to pray intelligently, how to pray in petitions, asking certain requests of God. And of course, as we come to serve the Lord and His church in our day and generation, we must be men and women of prayer. We must be able to lay hold upon God, plead His promises, and that's what we have here in this prayer, that we might ask of God in faith and plead the blessings He has promised to us. So stay tuned as we come now to our message.
Let us unite in prayer. Let's seek the Lord a moment, please. Father, we thank Thee for this time that we're shut in around Your Word. Oh God, we thank Thee for the richness of this Matthew chapter 6, for the demonstration of the care of our Heavenly Father. Let us dwell on that with joy today. Grant the hearing of faith and preaching that is true to the book, and that Thy favor will be upon us in this hallowed time as we search the Scriptures together. Make us true Bereans and bless us, we ask, which we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. A new year is soon to begin. And on this final Sunday, it's good for us to take stock of our Christian lives, to just do a little bit of inward reflection, gazing into the mirror of our Christian testimony and profession, and ask the question, how are we doing? Are we richer or poorer in faith? Has there been any growth in our souls? And then I come to the big question I want to ask you in light of the Lord's Prayer that we've just read. How have we hallowed our Father's heavenly name? That is the very first petition in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. And that is a great test. Have we individually, one by one, as we walk with God through this year, hallowed, honored, brought glory to that name? And then the big test, how do we pray? That's the real measure of our spiritual lives. Do we pray? And then how do we pray? And we see here from Matthew 6 that prayer requires right motives to earn right rewards. There is this little preamble about the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets. When they wanted to pray, they blew trumpets. Well, I think that really is hyperbole. Speaking, they drew attention to themselves. Somehow, look at me. I'm praying. Therefore, they were doing it to be seen of men. Now, the Lord said, they have their reward. They wanted men to see it. Therefore, they'll get the reward of men. They have their reward. But ye, when ye pray, don't draw attention. Go into the closet. Pray in secret. And your Father, which is in heaven, shall reward you openly. Also, the Lord taught his disciples that when ye pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do. The Lord was not into mantras and empty words that have no meaning to either God nor men. Just babbling words. Oh, how the world today is still deluded by those subjective babblings which are so empty and meaningless. Some learn rote words when children and they use them all their days. But there's neither a thought of God, heaven, holiness, salvation, eternal life for their own souls. It is just vain repetitions. The essential and foremost need is to make full use of our Heavenly Father's name. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, when ye pray, say, Our Father. That's real prayer. Making proper use with full understanding that the God of heaven is your own personal Heavenly Father. As we look back over the year that has nearly passed, we have to acknowledge the goodness of our Heavenly Father. All the provisions, all the cares, all the what you would call coincidentals but are God's providences. Well, I'm not accusing you of reducing them to coincidentals, but very often we don't recognize God behind them. And we look forward to a new year to come as we also acknowledge that we need God as our Father to go before us and to watch over us. We need to think of the value of a father. You think of the value of an earthly father. The word orphan is a sad word. The term fatherless sounds tragic. We know the benefit of a good earthly father. How much more, then, the benefit and blessing of our Heavenly Father? That really is the great lesson and the great benefit that we find right here. And so, our subject today, the sermon today that's bubbling up in my heart, is the message that it is by your prayer and your communion with your Heavenly Father that will bring down the blessing into your life as we think of the year to come. And may the Lord, by His Spirit, enable us to make right use of that privilege that is ours to call the God of glory our own Heavenly Father. Think on that. Prayer then requires a childlike confidence in God as our Father. I want to hammer that home today. This is a pretend hammer, and there's a nail somewhere, and I want to hit that nail on the head. I want to drive this home that we need as Christians a childlike confidence in God as our Father. Now, we know that God is the creator of all men in the world. He can be called the Father of all men in the world as He is the Creator. We refer to John Newton as the father of gravity. He somehow discovered or put it into some kind of a definition. Although I'm not at all sure anyone yet knows really how gravity works. This pull down toward the earth. Alexander Fleming, he is the father of penicillin. And in this age of coughs and colds, we're thankful for medicines like that that can help. Alexander Graham Bell, he is the father of the telephone. We refer to them to the father because they were the founder, the creator of it. Now, who made you? Well, of course, your parents were involved, but they're not really your creator because they could not determine either your gender, male or female. They could not determine the gifts that you would receive. They could not determine the faculties that you would have, even deformities that some babies are born with. And so we are all, in reality, children of our Heavenly Father. And there is a general sense in which we can say to all men, your Heavenly Father cares for you. He is the Savior of all men in that caring, providing good things for our lives. Now, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus. We cannot comprehend sonship without fatherhood. We couldn't understand the Lord Jesus as God's Son if we did not understand God as Father. And in the Trinitarian structure of Godhood, there is Father and Son. And we worship our God as the Father of our Lord Jesus. And Christ said to his disciples, I ascend to my Father and your Father. What a wonder. And so Christians, by virtue of being united to the Lord Jesus, may rightly call God their Father in that way. God is therefore a Father of all believers in the Lord Jesus in the gospel sense. Do you remember how the Lord spoke to Thomas when Thomas wanted to see the nail prints in his hands and Thomas confessed the Lord, my God, and the Lord spoke to him that I ascend unto my Father and your Father. And so you have a Father in heaven. You have a sonship adoption relationship with the God of heaven. Now I have texts here, Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So he is our Father and we have access to him. That's what the gospel brings us. Because of Calvary, because of atonement, because of reconciliation, we now have access to the Father. That you can bow the knee and confess and call upon God as your Father. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so our prayers, rightly, as Jesus taught his disciples, pray ye our Father. That's the relationship. That's the privilege that we truly have as Christians. And then believers, of course, are adopted children by the new birth, by the Holy Spirit living within us. We are now the children of God by a new nature. Romans 8:26-27, key verses. If you want to mark those verses, they are key, that you have this witness of the Spirit bearing witness that you are the children of God, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. The result of the new birth and of adoption into the family of God is that you pray and you personally come pleading God as your Heavenly Father. Now, all of this, of course, is a great encouragement to prayer. There should be no dumb Christians in prayer. There should be no one asking, what can I pray? How do I pray? You have in you the spirit of prayer. You have the spirit of adoption, the spirit of asking, Father, Abba, Father. For this the Father has elected us. We've been chosen, called, appointed to be His children, that He may hear our cries and our prayers, our asking. And we're back to that how much more argument, where the Lord said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask Him? Now, I'm at the stage of life now where I can witness my sons become fathers. I may share the news that we're expecting another grandchild somewhere late April, and we now become a witness of our children's excitement about babies coming along. And we, as grandparents, well, you're more the role of an observer now. And you see how they take this news, and you see how they handle it. And you see this spirit of parenting born in them. And the children that they do have, the care and the delight they take in their children. You know, little children, and they become daddy's pets. When he leaves home, they cry. When he returns, they get excited. And that, of course, is a great tribute to a father, because if that doesn't happen, well, the child might fear and be not really loved by the father. But where children delight in a father, and their father delights in them, it's beautiful. It's nice to see. We just say, well, we must have done something right, that God has given them this nurturing heart for their children. And when we see that in earthly fathers, how much more, the Lord says, does our heavenly Father give good things to them that love Him, His own children. And so this is the first point here. We need childlike confidence in the fatherhood, the goodness of our God to us. Do you have that today? If you don't, you'll not be encouraged to pray. You'll not be encouraged to take your needs and cares and your joys to the Lord. You will lose out this essential element of Christian living, a right relationship, a joyous confidence in your heavenly Father. And as I read this chapter 6, and you should read it over and over, you will see this emphasis, your heavenly Father. And that makes us different from the Gentiles, the heathen, the worldling. That's what makes us to have this life of faith and trust and calling upon the Lord. Now, the next thing we move to here is that prayer requires a confession of falling short of honoring our Heavenly Father. As we look back over the year, and this message today is looking backward out there, 12 months that have gone by, and we're assessing, we're testing ourselves, how have we individually truly honored our Heavenly Father? How have we lived the Christian life? And I think that we will all have to confess that somewhere along the way we have fallen short of loving and serving and resting in the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. And I want us to think of just a few ways by which we need to confess that. We need to confess that there have been times we have turned away from our Father. And you know how that happens in homes at various stages in life. And the father comes home and the child runs away, hides in his room, shows no interest in his dad. And we go along with the Christian outward stuff of church life. We do all the right things. We know the routine. We have everything Christian in name and some deeds. But in heart, we do not draw near to God. We don't have that keen, first-person, special delight in God's grace and name. And you might be asking how. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, this was the complaint. Jeremiah was sent as God's prophet to bring this word. You have not turned unto me. That we may have to confess. That we have become estranged somewhere along the way. And we have lost that personal delight in the gracious love of our Heavenly Father. Also, we need to confess that we have ceased trusting in our Heavenly Father because of our anxiety in the affairs of life. This chapter 6 deals with about take no thought of the morrow, which means be not anxious of the morrow. The morrow shall take care of itself. Think not what ye shall eat or what ye shall put on. This is a passage that counters what Gentiles, what the worldly mind does. They think, especially now coming into a new year, well, what am I going to do? How will I be provided for? What are the things that I should be watching out for that might be against me? And this can be a time of anxiety. But here you see that we are to lean on our Heavenly Father. Go down to verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, that is premised. That is only possible. That statement can only be fact on the foundation of verse 32. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Let's not rule our Heavenly Father out of the picture when it comes to planning decisions and confidence in the future. But let us bring our Heavenly Father into it. Let him be in control. And perhaps we have come short of that. And so when you became a worrywart, and when you fretted and feared and rubbed your hands and doubted and questioned, were you resting on the provisions, the care of your Heavenly Father? Another area is we need to confess being absent from the house of God to seek our Heavenly Father's blessing. Now, I know this is going to rub hard, but my exhortation last January was, let this be a year when we have everybody at every meeting. That would revolutionize the church. If we had everybody at every meeting, Sunday school hour, Sunday morning and evening, and Wednesday prayer meeting. Well, obviously, everybody can't go to the men's prayer meeting, and everybody can't go to the ladies' prayer meeting, and everybody can't go to the youth meeting, but in the main services of the church, let everybody be at every meeting. But alas, it has not happened. And if there is an area that we really need to confess that we have not hallowed and honored our Father's name, is by our empty seats, the empty place. When a few take the hymn book and a few seek to worship God, but the majority are missing, we need to confess. We need to also confess being cold and careless in our own devotion to God. John 4:24, we read there that the Father seeketh such to worship him. And what delights our Heavenly Father ought to delight us. When we learn that something brings pleasure and delight to our God, then that ought to be the very thing that should be our red-hot zeal. Zeal for the glory of God in his worship, in salvation, in taking and giving praise to his Son. When we magnify the name of his Son, the Father takes delight.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that this message will give you strength from the Lord to press on at the close of this old year and as we enter the new. Here's a New Year's resolution. I will, like Paul, forget those things which are behind and press forward, Like David, lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Like Abraham, trust implicitly in my God. Like Enoch, walk in daily fellowship with my heavenly Father. Like Jehoshaphat, prepare my heart to seek God. Like Moses, choose rather to suffer than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Like Daniel, commune with my God at all times. Like Job, be patient under all circumstances. Like Caleb and Joshua, refuse to be discouraged because of superior numbers. Like Joseph, turn my back to all seductive advances. Like Gideon, advance even though my friends be few. Like Aaron and Hur, uphold the hands of my spiritual leaders. Like Isaiah, consecrate myself to do God's work. Like Andrew, strive to lead my brother into a closer walk with Christ. Like John, lean upon the bosom of the Master and imbibe of his Spirit. Like Stephen, manifest a forgiving spirit toward all who seek my hurt. Like Timothy, study the Word of God. Like the heavenly host, proclaim the message of peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. And like my Lord himself, overcome all earthly allurements by refusing to succumb to their enticements, realizing that I cannot hope to achieve these objectives by my own strength. I will rely upon Christ, for I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, may the Lord be our helper and give us of his mighty power. That, by the way, is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the Christian must lay hold upon those promises and press on to serve the Lord with discipline, with an inner discipline, and desire that we may truly stand for Christ in an evil day, and we do not know the change, the challenges that the new year will bring, but we have the promises to hold on to, and the Lord will not fail. May the Lord bless you sincerely and fill you with his
power. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.